There are volumes written in the Bible about it. And I'm not giving you, as the paper said, my opinion on these things. I'm giving you what the Bible says, what God says. If it was just me speaking, I wouldn't pay much attention to it, and I wouldn't even bother to come out here. But if it's God speaking, then we ought to take great notice of it. We ought to listen very carefully to what God Almighty says. And we're going to be dealing in services to come with the moral collapse that is prophesied in the Bible, and see if there is today a worldwide collapse of man's morals in fulfillment of the scriptures. Jesus said that before he returns, there will be wars and rumors of wars. So one of our messages will be on war and terror, to see if that is perhaps being fulfilled today around the world. We hear a great deal today about economics and how heavily in debt nations are, and how some nations are actually bankrupt. We're hearing that of Greece. We're hearing it about Turkey. The United States is extremely heavily in debt, more so than it's ever been in its history. Money is being devalued at a high rate. I've traveled throughout the world for 40 years, and I can tell you that money is indeed making a downward trend everywhere, while prices are skyrocketing. And we're going to be dealing with economics in Bible prophecy. What does the Bible say about economics that might lead us to believe that scriptures are being pointed out fulfilling the prophecies of God's word? So we have some of those things coming up tonight. You know, signs are very important, and Jesus gave us signs. There are many signs in the Bible. Signs are a warning. Signs tell you to prepare. Signs tell you to get ready. Something is about to happen. I remember when I was a teenage boy, there were about five of us boys that liked to go places together. And we all got in the car one night after church, and we went to this famous hamburger shack. And we all knew about it. And I could eat like that then because you had to look at me twice to see me. And so we were going to head out to the hamburger shack and have us two or three hamburgers apiece. And I mean, they weren't just little things. They were big. And the hamburger fell over the outside all the way around, you know. And we had pickles and onions and ketchup and mustard and whatever you could put on it. We didn't know about Aussie burgers in those days. I learned about them after I came here a few years ago. We'd have had some of that on it if we'd have known about it. But we had fries and milkshakes and all of that. We'd go out to the hamburger shack, and on the way, we had to go down this highway. And as we were traveling down the highway, we saw a fairly small sign that said, "Bridge out ahead." And so we continued down the road, not knowing for sure where we were going to have to turn off if that bridge was really out, and detour around. It wasn't too long until we came to a second sign, bigger than the first one. And it said, "Bridge out ahead." We continued down the road, not so fast now because we didn't know what to expect up there. We were listening and looking and obeying those signs. Pretty soon we came to a third sign, very much larger than the other two, and it said, "Bridge out ahead." We cautiously continued. We went until we came to a fourth sign, and it was huge, and it even had letters that when the headlights of the car hit it, they lit up. And it said in huge letters, "Bridge out ahead." About that time, we could look in the distance and we could see flashing red lights. And then we came to a fifth sign. I mean, it was like a billboard. And it had lights flashing all the way around it. "Bridge out ahead." Big flashing sign. So we cautiously went ahead and pulled up to where the police cars were and the ambulance was. And we got out of the car. And sure enough, the bridge was out. And as we went to the edge there, they had a big crane pulling a semi-truck, one of the big 18-wheelers, out of the river below. And when they got it up to the ground level, they began to pry open the doors on the cab of that truck to take the dead body of the driver out of that truck. Now, that man died because he ignored five signs. There were plenty of warnings, plenty of opportunities, but he just kept going at a high rate of speed, ignoring every one of the signs, and it cost him his life. That's kind of like the Bible is. All along the road of life, the Bible gives us warning signs. Warning that eternity is ahead. Warning that the pits of hell are ahead. Telling us what to do to avoid that tragedy. And yet people plunge into the pits of hell on a daily, hourly, and even moment basis because they ignore all the signs that are in the Bible. And I'm giving you the signs. I'm giving you the prophecies that are indicators that the coming of Jesus Christ is soon, the end of the world as we know it is near, and there are warnings and prophecies being fulfilled now right before our eyes, trying to tell us, you better get ready. Jesus is coming. You better prepare to meet God. You better prepare to come face to face with God. That's what's being said in the scriptures. And tonight I want to talk to you about a prophecy that is found in several places in the Bible indicating that as the coming of Christ approaches, there's going to be a universal effect on creation. And I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles, first of all, to the prophecies of Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah is one of those prophets that tell us about the coming of Christ and what's going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 2, I want to read, first of all, verse 12. The scripture says here, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." Now, I want you to remember a phrase in there because this is a prophecy that has to do with what is called the day of the Lord. Remember that phrase, the day of the Lord. Then I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 24, and he's going to describe now what's going to happen on the day of the Lord. As we begin reading in chapter 24 and verse 18, "And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth do shake." Now this is describing the day of the Lord. What's going to happen when the day of the Lord comes? He says here in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in a pit and be shut up in prison, and after many days shall they be visited. The moon shall be confounded, the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem before his ancients gloriously. We live today in what is called the day of man. Man's having his way. In Luke's gospel, chapter 21, that's called the time of the Gentiles. That's one of the prophetic phrases of the Bible. We are now living in what is called prophetically the times of the Gentiles. And that's when man's having his way. He's ruling, he's reigning, he's doing what he wants to do. And in much to a great degree, he is ignoring God in the whole thing. Does what he pleases. But next comes, after the times of the Gentiles are finished, biblically, next comes what is called the day of the Lord. Now I'm going to give you about three important phrases tonight that are prophetic phrases right out of the Bible, all describing the same thing. The first phrase I want you to remember is the day of the Lord. That's the day when the times of the Gentiles is over, man's rule is over, and the Lord is going to come and take over. And I want you to notice a passage of scripture in the prophecies in the Old Testament prophecy of Joel. If you can find Joel now in your Bible, it's a small book in the Old Testament, so sometimes it's hard to find. The book of Joel, and I want to look at verse 2 and read verse 11. Here it says, "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Here the prophet Joel also speaks of the day of the Lord. Isaiah speaks of the day of the Lord. And in the 24th chapter that we read, the day of the Lord is described. That's when the window of heaven opens and the Lord descends out of heaven. That's what's going to happen. And when that takes place, verse 18 says that the foundations of the earth are going to shake. And the earth is going to be greatly affected as the windows of heaven open. For instance, in verse 19, it says the earth is going to be broken down. In verse 19, it says the earth is going to be dissolved. It says in verse 19 that it is going to move exceedingly. See, I'm not telling you my ideas. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. What God is saying. In verse 20, it says the earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Did you ever see one staggering down the street? The earth is going to stagger like a drunkard. And it's going to be removed like a cottage. Have you ever seen a terrible, terrible storm hit a little cottage along the ocean and all of a sudden it's gone? That's what is being described here. And also, in verse 23, it says the moon is going to be confused. Now, when the moon is confused, that has a definite effect upon the earth, because the moon gives light upon the earth at night. That's why God made it. It also affects the tides of the oceans and the seas, and maintains the bars that God has put in place so that the water does not come upon the land. And when the moon is confused, all of that means that the function and the purpose of the moon will not work properly. Then he also says here, the sun will be ashamed. Now, that has a tremendous effect upon creation and upon the earth. The sun does three things for you and me. It gives us light, it gives us energy, and it gives us heat. Those are the three things it gives us. And for the sun to be ashamed is God's way of saying, I'm not going to allow the sun to continue its created purpose. So that means that all of a sudden, there's not going to be any light on the earth. There's not going to be any energy on the earth. There's not going to be any heat upon the earth. I'm telling you what's going to happen according to the prophecies of God's word in the day of the Lord. What we want to see tonight is if any of these things are even now beginning to happen. Because if some of these things are right now starting to happen on the earth, we're pushing closer and closer and closer to the day of the Lord. And if you'll stay with me for the next 3 hours, we're going to get to all that. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 34. In Isaiah 34, we're going to hear a different phrase. This one, remember, is the day of the Lord. That's when the Lord comes back. That's when the Lord takes over. That's when man's rule is over, finished. Now, Isaiah chapter 34, beginning with verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. So God is not talking to the Christian here. He's not talking to the church member here. He's not talking just to the Jewish nation here. He's talking to the whole world. Listen to what he says. For the indignation of the Lord. That's the next phrase I want you to remember. First, the day of the Lord. Second, the indignation of the Lord. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from off the vine, and as a falling fig from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. Idumea is a biblical name for the Arab peoples. And upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath sacrificed in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks and with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Have you heard any controversies about Zion today in the newspaper and on television? God's going to settle that whole thing. We're just now seeing it reach a zenith because the coming of Christ is near. And the streams thereof, listen to this, I'm coming back to this in a moment, amazing thing here. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, remember the word pitch, and dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch, remember that phrase. It shall not be quenched night or day, the smoke thereof shall go up forever, that's going to cause pollution. For generation to generation it shall lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. Now you have the same thing, the coming of the Lord, called the indignation of the Lord. And it's going to have a definite effect upon creation. That's what's being described here. He's going to come, according to verse 1 and 2, and destroy the nations or the armies of men who are going to gather against him and against Israel. And that's the thing that's beginning to happen right now. Prophecy is being fulfilled right now in the world's attitude about the Jewish nation. The attitude of the world is gradually changing and going against the Jewish people today. Even the president of my country has stood and spoken negatively about Israel in the United Nations. Every time one of our presidents has done that, we have experienced a national disaster. History proves it. That God says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Just after he said what he did about the nation of Israel in the negative way, we've got the national disaster of the Gulf of Mexico. Billions and billions and billions of dollars lost, lives changed, homes destroyed, animals destroyed, businesses destroyed, lives torn all apart, and it is a national disaster, and it came right after he made his negative comment about the nation of Israel. You don't touch God's people. How many times have we seen prophecy being fulfilled and we've ignored it and didn't know what it was? Now here, the indignation of the Lord says that when it comes, in verse 3, there will go up a pollution because of the stink of the carcasses of the dead bodies. In one passage of the prophets, it says it's going to take Israel 6 months just to bury the dead. They're going to lay there and rot, and the air is going to be polluted by the filth of death. Then it says here that their blood is going to be so great, it's going to melt the mountains. It's going to be so hot that it's going to melt the mountains. Another prophet says that the blood of the enemies of God, when the indignation of the Lord comes, will flow through the valley of Megiddo, and it will flow as deep as the bridles of the horses. That's 4.5 to 5 feet deep, for a length of 200 miles. That's the indignation of the Lord. See, God's been long-suffering. He has been gentle. He has been kind. He has been offering man salvation for all these thousands of years, and man keeps shutting his ears and closing his heart and refusing to listen. And one of these days, God's going to say, it's enough. See. Now, I want you to also notice something very interesting in verse 9. It says that the streams and the air will be polluted by what is called burning pitch. There are terms in the Bible that are very interesting. In the Old Testament, there is a term called slime. And that slime was used to put the bricks together when the Egyptian people were constructing their society. This slime would stick those bricks together. And when the Jewish slaves were there, they had to use that slime to stick those bricks together made out of straw and mud. And then when the flood came and God told Noah to build an ark, Noah sealed the inside of the ark with a thing called tar. That was the word then. Here in the prophecies of Isaiah, it is called pitch. Those three terms mean the same thing. They really refer to petroleum, to oil coming out of the earth. See? And we have petroleum companies today that tell us that they're running out of oil. And so as a result of the fact that they're running out of oil, they have to put the prices way up. And we just go to the pump and pay for it because we believe them. We believe we're going to run out of oil. I got news for you, sweetie. There's going to be enough oil to pollute the air with burning pitch when the indignation of the Lord comes. I talked to a scientist who was a born-again believer, and he said, "Preacher, the earth is so hot at the center core that it continuously produces tar or petroleum, and it's never going to run out." So somebody is giving us the wrong information in order to raise the prices so that the fat cats can live high off the hog. You just got to read the Bible. The Bible is as modern as your newspaper. We're going to have burning pitch. We're going to have petroleum burning night and day, and smoke, black smoke going up and polluting the air and creating a situation where it's going to be hard for man to breathe. This is when Jesus comes back. The day of the Lord, the indignation of the Lord. There's another phrase I want you to remember that has to do with affecting creation as the Lord comes. This one is found in the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 6. Learn a lot by just reading your Bible, studying your Bible. In the Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll." Now, do you see similar language here from Isaiah's language? Very similar. "And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the caves, the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" That's Christ. He is referred to here as the Lamb. "For," listen to this, verse 17, "for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now you got the third phrase I want you to remember, the day of God's wrath. So the Lord's day, the indignation of the Lord, the day of God's wrath are synonymous terms. They mean the same thing. They're referring to the same event. They're telling you what's going to happen when the Lord returns. Now, the day of God's wrath. Let me talk to you about that a little bit. Because it says here, first of all, in verse 12, that there's going to be a great earthquake. Now, earthquakes are very interesting in the Bible. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, it tells you that the earth is now under what is called the bondage of corruption. That's another important prophetic term in the Bible. The earth is under what is called the bondage of corruption. You say, how did it get that way? You got to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And in the third chapter, when God confronted Adam and Eve because they had sinned against him, they had disobeyed him, they had listened to the voice of the serpent instead, and they fell into sin, and the death penalty passed upon them and upon all mankind. What happened on that occasion was this: man was placed under a curse, woman was placed under a curse, the serpent was placed under a curse. Just read it for yourself, chapter 3. And the earth was placed under a curse for man's sake. That curse is called the abomination of the abomination of desolation. It's called the in the book of Romans, it is called the bondage of corruption. And it says in the 8th chapter of Romans that the creation, or the earth, is groaning because it is waiting to be delivered. I'm now using Bible terms. It is groaning and it is travailing in pain. That's what the Bible says. Groaning and travailing in pain, waiting to be delivered. Now, that is birth language. Did you know that? Every woman who's ever given birth to a child understands groanings. They understand pain. They understand travailing. They understand delivery. I married this pretty little girl 56 years ago. I was just sitting around minding my own business, not hurting anybody. And one day she said, "You better get me to the hospital." So I took her to the hospital. About 4 days later, I went to get her and she wasn't alone. Down there at that hospital, she got one of these noisemakers that noise in the middle of the night and bad smells on top of it. Brought that home. Well, I was minding my own business again sometime later, and she looked at me and she said, "You better get me to the hospital." So I took her to the hospital again. Sometime later, I went to pick her up, and again, she wasn't alone. She had another one of those noisemakers that made bad smells. Now I got two of them in my house. And instead of this beautiful little bride paying attention to me, she's taking care of these little noisemakers. Well, I was minding my own business again, not hurting anybody, and she looked at me and she said, "You better take me to the hospital." I said, "Not again." Yeah. So I took her down there. Sure enough, she come home with another one. Three of them now. Well, one day I was watching a football game. Right in the middle of the football, would you believe it? Right in the middle of the football game, she said, "You better take me to the hospital." I said, "This is the last time I'm taking you to the hospital." And sure enough, I picked her up later and she had a fourth one. Now I got four noisemakers. They consume my food. They don't eat it, they consume it. It vanishes right before my eyes. When she makes me a nice cherry pie, if I want two pieces, I have to eat two pieces right in a row because these vultures are sitting around just getting ready to pounce on it. So one day I said to her, "How do you know when to tell me it's time to go to the hospital?" "Oh," she said, "the pains get closer and stronger. The pains get closer and stronger, and it's time for delivery." That's what Romans chapter 8 is saying. The earth is groaning and travailing in pain together until now, waiting to be delivered. So it would be interesting to know if the pains are increasing. It would be interesting to know if the pains are getting stronger. Well, I've made a study of earthquakes for over 25 years. I have on my computer signed up with a earthquake center in the United States that sends me notices every time there is a major earthquake anywhere in the world. I'm getting 3 to 5 to 8 every day now. I studied earthquakes and I found an interesting thing. From the year 1900, 110 years ago, back 1,000 years, and the records in the United States go clear back to the year 800 on earthquakes. Back that 1,000 years, there were 25 major earthquakes on the earth, only 25. From 1901 until today, we are having about 300 major earthquakes every year. A dramatic change took place in about 1901 that increased them. We are having now 50,000 earthquakes every year of all magnitudes. Some of them are small and you don't feel them, but they're happening. So folks, can you see what's happening in regard to Bible prophecy? There's going to be a great earthquake come. It's going to affect the sun and the moon, and it's going to affect the surface of the earth. It's going to affect the atmosphere around the earth. And even now, because when Jesus comes, the earth is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So even now, we are getting the increase in the groanings, in the travailings, in the pains, which means we're getting closer and closer and closer to delivery day. That's the day when Jesus comes back and delivers the earth from the curse it was placed under in the Garden of Eden. Let me just give you one example. On February the 27th this year, I was in the south part of the country of Chile, South America. I had just finished a training school for pastors, had gone to bed at 3:30 in the morning. The house I was staying in began to shake violently, almost knocked me out of bed, and for 3.5 minutes I hung onto that bed for dear life as we were experiencing the 5th strongest earthquake ever recorded, 8.8 on the scale. And that was just February the 27th this year. I immediately began to study because I couldn't go anywhere. All electricity was out. There was no water in the cities. The city of Concepcion, Chile, moved 11 feet. It relocated the whole city 11 feet. And if you remember when I read here, it talks about the earthquake moving the earth. Islands disappearing, by the way, you happen to live on an island. Islands disappearing, mountains disappearing. For 9 days after February 27th, I kept a count of the happenings of the earthquakes. And I could do this every day, but I don't have time. I'm just giving you one example of what is happening, how prophecy is now being fulfilled and the earth is beginning to shake beneath our feet constantly. During the next 9 days, in Chile alone, there were 15 major earthquakes after that one. Just in 9 day period, 15 major earthquakes. But hold on to your seat. There were over 100 during that same 9 days of less than 6 on the scale. Over 100. At the same time, at the very same time, there were major earthquakes in Argentina, Japan, Taiwan, and Indonesia at the very same 9 day period. Why is that important? Because Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there would be earthquakes in diverse places. That's what it says in Matthew 24. In answer to what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, Jesus gave them. The fifth sign was earthquakes in diverse places. Diverse places in the Greek is a phrase that means multiple occurrences at the same time in different places. Different places, multiple occurrences at the same time. We literally saw that fulfilled in Chile and around the world. Let me show you what happened. During that same 9-day period, there were earthquakes all over the world that registered 4 and 5 on the scale. Guess how many there were in that 9-day period? 268. And they took place in 21 different countries of the world. The earth is trembling and shaking because the indignation of the Lord is approaching. The day of the Lord is approaching. The times of the Gentiles is running out. So God is speaking to us. Our problem is we're not listening. It says here that the sun is going to become black. Now, folks, we have a lot of people today making money by selling their ideas about global warming. And we have a lot of people, governments even scaring people about global warming. Everything that is happening in the world today indicates the coming of the Lord is near. And when the coming of the Lord takes place, the sun becomes black. The sun becomes ashamed. You won't have to worry about global warming then. It will be dark and cold all over the earth, because one of the reasons for the sun is to give heat to the earth. And if it does not do its purpose, its created purpose, you get the opposite effect. So we have people scaring the human race with this global warming when you ought to fear God. Because God is coming. The Lord is coming. Stars are going to fall. The moon's going to become the color of blood. A mighty wind is going to blow. Mountains are going to move. Islands are going to move. It says that not only in the scripture that I read here, but also in the Revelation chapter 16. Again, it emphasizes what's going to take place. And we're seeing all of this starting right now. That's the amazing thing. There is a tremendous increase in hurricanes worldwide. There is a tremendous increase in typhoons worldwide. There is a tremendous increase in tornadoes worldwide. Last year, during the first 6 months of the year, I live in what is called Tornado Alley in the United States. And my home in 1999 on May the 3rd was totally destroyed. My car was destroyed. My office was destroyed. I was in Perth, Australia. My wife was behind the couch, covered up with all that she could cover up with. Two ladies behind our house were killed. God spared my wife, but took all our property, took everything we had. We are now having an increase. In 6 months last year, we had over 1,200 tornadoes in the United States alone. We are having right now a series of tornadoes that are earth-shaking and record-breaking right now in the United States. These things are all coming at record-breaking numbers. So the creation is crying out, it's groaning. That's what it's doing. It knows it's soon to be delivered. The earth's got more sense than the human beings living on it. 5 years ago, we had this tsunami over here in Indonesia, Thailand, part of the world. And when a tsunami comes, it sucks all the water off of the beaches out into the sea. It makes a noise like a train. And all of the animals, the birds, the dogs, and all of them ran away. The human beings ran down to the beach to see what was going on. Now, who's smarter? If the animals could talk, they would not claim us. You wouldn't have to worry about that. They'd say, now you atheists who believe in evolution and you believe in lower forms of life, that we're smarter than you are. I lived among mountain animals in my Rocky Mountains for over 10 years, and it was amazing to me how they take care of their young, how wise they are and how cautious they are, how protective they are, more so than human beings. So man's got a problem. He doesn't listen. He doesn't accept warnings. That's why so many people are not saved. All of these are signs, the bridge out ahead, bridge out ahead, bridge out ahead. And so few are listening. So few get saved. So few get ready to stand before God. So few. And the Bible says the world's largest earthquake is going to take place. It will split the Mount of Olives in Israel. And there will be a natural waterway form from the Mediterranean to the Gulf of Aqaba and open up a seaport called Jerusalem, now 45 miles inland. I'm talking about the day of the Lord, the indignation of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. All prophesied in Scripture, and now we're beginning to see the groanings of creation as it gets closer and closer and closer to the day of delivery. It's almost here, folks. Time is running out. All of this time, we have been offered the marvelous grace of God. Jesus sent here to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for our iniquities, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to give us eternal life and escape from perishing. A free gift he offers. He offers it to all. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. All can be saved. All are not going to be saved because they won't be, but all can be. The provision of salvation is sufficient for every person. It's not only bad people that need to be saved, it's good people. It's sick people, it's well people, it's poor people, it's rich people. All mankind is lost, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus came lovingly to save us. He has been giving us and giving us and giving us of his grace. And the day of salvation is soon to be over. And the day of God's wrath, the indignation of the Lord, is soon to fall. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't listen if it's just me you're hearing. But if you're hearing from God tonight, you better listen. You better get ready. You better prepare. You say, I'll join a church. That won't do it. You say, I'll start being better. That won't do it. You say, I'll get a religion. That won't do it. Jesus is the only Savior. You must repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, because once the door of salvation is closed, the next thing is the wrath of God, and none shall be able to stand. Let's bow together for prayer. Again, as our heads are bowed and no one's looking about, I'll be praying in just a moment. Perhaps tonight there are some here who say, preacher, it's time for me to listen to God. I've been ignoring it. I've been acting like it's going to go away, like it's going to disappear. It's really not going to happen. And I'm not prepared to meet God. I'm not prepared to stand before the Lord. Maybe you're religious, maybe you're a church member, but deep in your heart, you know You've never repented of your sins. You've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've never received him as your Savior. See, that's a new birth. A new birth as real as your physical birth. It has a date. It has a time when it actually happens. Can you look back and see when you were born again, born into the kingdom of God? Or perhaps there's never been a date when that took place. Only those who are born again are going to be able to stand in the day of judgment. You say, preacher, I want to listen to God. I want to pay attention. I want to do what he says. And I need to be saved. I need to get it settled. I need to know that if I were to die tonight, I'd go to heaven. I need to know when the day of judgment comes, I'll be protected by the blood of Jesus, by the Savior. And I wish you'd remember me in prayer, because I don't have that assurance tonight. I fear that I'm not saved. And I wish you'd pray for me, because I genuinely want to listen to God tonight, and I really need to be saved. Would you just slip up your hand if you're like that while heads are bowed? I'll know you want me to pray for you. Is there anyone like that in the service tonight? Remember me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure about it. I haven't got it settled. I don't have any peace about it, preacher. I can't go home tonight and pillow my head and rest with peace, knowing that all is well between me and God. Pray for me. I need prayer. Anyone like that tonight? Just slip up your hand. We'll pray for you. Anyone? Perhaps there's someone who is a child of God, but you're away from the Lord. You're not faithful to the Lord. You're not faithful to his house. You're not in obedience to his word. And if he were to come back, he'd find you a disobedient child of God. And you say, it's time for me to get right with the Lord and get busy and start serving the Lord and being faithful to him again. Preacher, I wish you'd pray for me. I need prayer. Anyone like that? Just slip up your hand. We'll pray for you. God bless you. Anyone else tonight? Remember me in prayer. Anyone tonight? All right, let's stand together for prayer. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of Jesus. We have done our best, Lord, to tell the people what you have said in your word. I pray that thy spirit would work amongst us, that hearts would be touched wherever it's necessary. And I pray that ears would be open to listen to what God has to say. And I pray that those who leave here not making the decision they ought to will not have any peace or rest until they do. I ask you in Jesus' name to work mightily in every heart and every life here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may need to come to the altar tonight. You may need to present yourself before the altar and pray. You may need to be saved. You may need to get right with God. It would not be right for me to leave you in this service without an opportunity if you need to visit with the Lord and talk with the Lord and have some spiritual needs met. So we're going to sing an invitation song. What shall it be, Pastor? 274. As we do, Pastor is here. His wife is here. Ladies, if you need spiritual counsel or help, if you need somebody to show you how to be saved, Pastor's wife will be glad to help you. Pastor will be glad to help you men. And there are others, perhaps, can help as well. But listen to God tonight. Don't listen to me. Listen to what God has said in his word and respond to him. I'm not asking you to respond to me. I'm asking you to respond to God. The altars belong to the Lord. They're provided for the children of men to come and meet with God and get things settled and get victory in your Christian life. So we invite you to come as we sing tonight.